today on Real Radio.
You may believe in him as some sort of a phantom god or a good luck charm god, but he is the one who we obey. And when the Christian does not obey, we are dealt with by him. Why? Because he's the perfect parent. He's so good to us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter understood the times they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution. But Peter also understood how big God really is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. In part one, we learned that as followers of Christ, we will suffer hardship, sickness, pain, even persecution. The Bible often speaks about the lives of real people in real situations of suffering. There is no other way to experience Jesus on a close personal level than to also experience his suffering. But we also know that God has an ultimate plan and that we suffer with a purpose. God is preparing us for eternity in heaven with him. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the more we suffer for the sake of Christ here on earth, the more we're blessed. The magnitude of our suffering determines our future reward. Our faith is not in the temporary, but in God's finished work when his glory is revealed in us. And now from his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. Go well here. Matthew 5, 38, Jesus says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. That's the Hammurabi code. He says in verse 39, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. See, what does that mean? You know the familiar saying, turn the other cheek? I guess I should tell you what it does not mean. Are you ready to write this down? Especially if you're a young person today, because you're being told something else. To turn the other cheek from what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount is not an endorsement. There's no Greek scholar, there's no historian that will back this up. There is no meaning to being a pacifist in that scripture. Did you know that? Oh, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. We must become pacifists. That is not what it means. And a lot of people have been duped by that. To turn the other cheek is a term that has been, of course, from ancient times, but it means to be insulted against your person. Jesus is not saying if someone slaps you in the face, you don't sit there and go, okay, can you hit me the same with same angle? You know, be even on this. I want to have the same bruises on this. Did you know that's not what it means? We say it today. Well, that was a slap in the face. You ever heard that same? That doesn't mean, oh my gosh, look at that guy just got slapped in the face. That was a slap on the face. That's not what it means. It means you were insulted. This is what it means. When Jesus says, if you get slapped on one cheek, turn to them the other cheek, it's a colloquial statement. It means if somebody insults your person, don't retaliate against that. You can let him have the other cheek. You can have him throw more insults at you. You know what I'm saying? Your mother wears army boots. Turn to him the other side that he might curse the other side of you. That's what it means. In fact, the Bible's very clear. If somebody invades your home to hurt or kill your children or your wife, you know, the Bible says to take the guy out. Did you know that? Yes. Bet you didn't know that, huh? Jesus said, listen, I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father. Now's the time for you to sell your jacket and to buy two knives. What does that mean? It means there's a dangerous world out there. And no person who knows God or loves God would say, oh, Mr. Thief, 2 o'clock in the morning, what are you here for? I'm here to take all your stuff and to rape your children and your wife. Oh, well, I'm a Christian. All right. No human would ever do that. God expects you to protect your family and your home. with safety with your life. The Bible says if you do not provide for your home, you're worse than an unbeliever. Remarkable. So that's not what he's talking about. Personal assaults, and we all get them, and they're going to increase. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. That's it. There you go. That's Matthew 5, 11. Listen to this. Hebrews 13, verse 10. This is Jesus' example to us. Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat of. That is the Old Testament economy. It's done. For the bodies of those animals whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp, outside the city. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Isn't that awesome? Jesus went to the cross outside the city wall of Jerusalem on Moriah's hill. Isn't that amazing? Just like the burnt offering would be, or the sin offering would be presented, that he might sanctify the people of his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Verse 13, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his, what's the word? Reproach. It's an honor to be cursed for Jesus' sake. That's what we're learning right here, right now. Is this going to cause the church to grow? Nope. But this is going to cause the church to grow. Watch my hands. Will this cause the church to grow? Nope. But this will cause the church to grow. All of a sudden, the attack of the enemy is disarmed. The world is disarmed when they attack us, if it's for Jesus' sake. What a wonderful power that is. Paul's example is this. Paul's example, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 says this. For our light affliction, coming from Paul, our scrapes and bruises, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How awesome is that? Someday, my dear friend, it's all going to be worth it. Just hang in there. Friends, listen, if you are going through something alone, I'm talking to the Christians. If you're going through something alone, can you stop right now? You should not be going through it alone. None of us who name the name of Jesus fly solo. Look, if you're in a sin right now and nobody knows, do you have a friend? Do you know somebody who cares? Is there a pastor in your life? Is there a godly friend in your life that you can say, listen, I've gotten myself into some trouble, and I need you to pray for me, and I know it's wrong. Look, I know God's word says this, but I've done this or I'm doing this, and I'm asking you to help me. Are you hearing me? The only way you would not do that is because of pride. Well, my friends think I'm something. So you think. It's pride that gets us to sin, and then it's pride that keeps us in silence, and then it's pride that buries us. And if you don't have good Christian friends, then you need to find some new Christian friends. But you don't need many. How about one that you can turn to and say, listen, and by the way, can I say this? Sister to sister, brother to brother. Never will a Christian man confess his sordid escapades with a Christian woman. Never. Or somebody of the world. Oh, you know, I really struggle with this. Oh, you do? Well, let me help you. Happens every day. Watch it. Be careful who you talk to. Find a Christian friend. In Philippians 3, verse 8, I hope you're writing these verses down. They'll come in handy when the world punches you in the face someday. Philippians 3, 8. Indeed, I also count all things lost. Paul is, I can't wait to meet this guy. I count all things lost. That dude had a lot to lose when he came to Christ. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul said, I lost it all when I came to Jesus. And count them as rubbish, trash. Some of your old, does the old King James say dung? Huh, does it? Can somebody look? Is it? Isn't that great? Do you guys, she's saying yes. She's got the old King James. Do you know what dung is? Dung is what we go to buy at Lowe's or Home Depot and thank God, a sealed plastic airtight bag, because it's cow potty. You drive home and you throw it on your lawn. It's fertilizer. Paul said, I counted everything that I had acquired in life regarding meaning and status and purpose. All, how about modern day time? All my cars, all my airplanes, all my boats, all my homes, all my money, all my whatevers. And he said, it's all a bunch of manure. Dung. The New King James is so kind. It says rubbish. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. In other words, God gives it. God gives you his righteousness. And Paul says, that is worth everything else that this world can offer, because all that stuff in the end is just thrown on the lawn. Think about how true that is. Your righteousness by Christ, you'll take into eternity. You're not taking any of your fertilizer into eternity. When we bury you in the grave, it's your body, nothing else. Oh, can you put my car in there? Nope, we're not going to bury your car with you. You're not going anywhere in that car. We'll just lower my gold, my gold coins. Nah, you're not going to need that. It all stays here. It goes nowhere with you. But your righteousness that's in Christ, oh, that's another matter. Wow. Have you made that exchange? Have you encountered that value of Jesus where it's like, Lord, okay, that's it. I'm going for you. And the things of this world just begin to evaporate. 2 Corinthians 4:8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. This is the Christian life. Wow, this is amazing. Every day, living our Christian life, we go through the rejection and the persecution and the difficulties of this unbelieving world. Now, again, granted, you and I live in the West, and it ain't so bad yet. It will be much worse soon. Very soon, it's coming, as it is in the world. Paul says, that life I'm living in this age of hostility and rejection, I bear this with Christ. We're walking together in this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You guys all right? Writing these down? Ephesians 2:8. This is amazing. By the way, if you're here today, and we know that many people come all the time, if you're of a cult, if you're a local cult visiting, welcome. Welcome. Now, get a load of this. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Boom. Mic drop. Bang. Wait, going door to door, handing out tracts, racking up points? Nope. Riding bikes all over the county? Nope. Doing penance and programs and things issued to me to do? Nope. Are you hearing me? For by grace you will be saved. What's it say? You have been saved. Past tense. And that not of yourselves. You didn't do it. It is the gift of God. The moment you work for a gift, it's no longer a gift. Hey, I got you this gift, Pastor. I hope you enjoy it. You know what? Some sweet man, he's a pastor in Central California. Do you know what he did? He wrote me a note this week. He said, he's deduced from the sermons he's listening to from this pulpit that I like fast cars. I don't own fast cars, just for the record. I have a Ford Expedition truck and I have a 67 Volkswagen with 35 horsepower. It's so slow it can't get out of its way. Okay, I don't drive a fast car, just for the record, don't own one. Would you allow me to bring down a Corvette for you to drive for the week and you can enjoy yourself? What a sweet man. He has no idea that I would probably be either arrested or killed for endangering humanity. But you hear his gift? Imagine if I were to say to him, hey, thanks for the offer, but I'll pay you $100 for that experience. Is it now a gift? No longer a gift. hey, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, but I'm going to pay toward you in good works my full acceptance. No. We give him our works because he saved us. I asked one of my grandkids this week, how do you know if you love Jesus? And they gave the answer that most people give. At such a young age, already, they got it wrong. Read the Bible. I said, no. Sing songs. Nope. No, there's more to the story, the backstory you don't need to know about. The answer was this, if you love Jesus, you'll obey your mommy. But is that not true? Yeah. Oh, I love the Lord. Let's sing. Okay. I love the Lord. Let's build a house for somebody poor. Great. But the ultimate is, I love the Lord. Let's do what he says. Yeah. That's real love. A parent, can you imagine a parent? Hey, kid, I want you to clean your room. Daddy, I love you. Well, right on. Clean your room. Daddy, let's sing songs together. Let's sing songs. As soon as we're done, you're cleaning your room. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and do not do the things I say? When the Bible says in the New Testament, obey my commands. How do you hear that? Do you hear that like, ooh, that's a little heavy-handed, isn't it? Then there's a good chance you don't know him. There's a good chance you do not know him. You may believe in him as some sort of a phantom god or a good luck charm god, but he is the one who we obey. And when the Christian does not obey, we are dealt with by him. Why? Because he's the perfect parent. He's so good to us. But I'm still reading Ephesians 2:8. We want to put that on the screen, Ephesians 2:8. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his poema, workmanship. It's where we get the word poem. We are his poem. He has crafted us and he's written out for us the song sheet to live by. Isn't it beautiful? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, you see, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that great? There's an old English story about a man who was very, very ugly, very disfigured, very hideous to look at. So he wore a mask. He wore a mask carved out of wood in the shape of a very, very handsome man. It's a story, people. If it's true, I'm going to go buy a mask and try it. After the years, the man took off the mask, and over time, his face had taken the shape of the mask to his delight and everyone else. Think about that regarding being a Christian. We are the beast. Jesus is the beauty. His righteousness upon us changes us until after, over the years, we now exhibit a love and a faith and a joy and a presence and a righteousness that's not our own. The mask, so to speak, changed us. Are you with me? He did that. He embossed it upon us. We were changed by him. And so we take off the mask of our old life, or I should say we take off the mask that covered our old life, and we see this beautiful face. And we're surprised. That's not me, but it is me. You are a child of God. You are now bearing the DNA spiritually of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're changing by the Spirit of God from glory to glory, the Bible says, as you grow in Christ. That's happening to every one of us who are Christians today. He's working. He's doing it. But there's such a paradox as me and this believer in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, down to verse 16. Listen to this. Matthew 5, verse 3 to 16, Jesus said, happy, welfare actually, to farewell is the term. Welfare or faring well or happy, blessed are you, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. By the way, he's describing the spirit of the Christian life. Let's not read that and say, oh, that's, you know what? That's Mikey, and that's Susie, and that's Judy, and that's Billy. No, this is the Christian spirit in us by the Holy Spirit. This is the spirit of us right here. When God owns you, these are the dynamics of your life, spiritually speaking. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's us. For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. The Spirit of God let loose within us is going to be merciful to other people through you, right? For they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I love that one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Are we not all called to be peacemakers? Absolutely. This is all of us. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you see? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil or all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? How shall it be re-seasoned is what that word means. It is then good for nothing, but then to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light, listen, let your light, what is that? Righteousness, your humble spirit, your commitment to Jesus, your love, the truth, everything that is under the light, in the light, shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's an awesome statement. It means in the end, not today. If you're going to be cursed for loving Jesus, the world is not going to say, that is so great, you guys. You guys just standing up for righteousness. Let's give glory to your Father in heaven. That's not what it means. It means on the day of judgment, the unbelieving world, that's who it's referencing. In the day of judgment, they're going to say, oh, they were right. Those people who stood and glorified Jesus, they were right and I was wrong. And in so confessing, they will give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. That's what it means. In the meantime, you and I need to shine our light. We need to be salt and we need to make an impact. It's absolutely remarkable.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, in a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2. So glad you joined us today, and don't forget that Jesus is not going to replace your suffering with glory. He's going to transform your suffering into glory. What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ really did carry him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter kept reminding us that in the midst of suffering, it's all going to be worth it. Peter knew the power of encouragement and the strength we'll receive in the study of God's Word. The more we know, the more empowered we'll become to keep growing and to keep doing God's will. It's also why Pastor Jack shares so much on YouTube. His channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And once you're there, you'll find Pastor Jack's hundreds of messages on Scripture, Bible prophecy, current events, and so much more. So join the thousands of subscribers in search of God's truth, comfort, and inspiration. Again, Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can also access that YouTube channel right there from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.